one thing, too, that really struck me is that the 8 crewmen who boarded the Hunley on the night of the attack surely knew about the 2 previous sinkings and that 13 crew members had died. So I would think they were very keenly aware of the risks when they undertook this mission. What were the conditions like in Charleston that, you know, they must have been really bad to motivate these men to embark on this extremely dangerous mission?
The danger was great. Beauregard, before he authorized the third mission of the Hunley, he specifically required that the dangers and the losses of the crew should be spelled out to all the volunteers so they knew what they were getting into. Well, shells were lobbing down on Charleston on an almost daily basis. You see that in the newspaper articles. They talk about how many shells came down, how long they came down, where they hit. So these were coming down all the time. The blockade was pretty much tight by now. Not much was coming in. The people were under some privations, but never knowing when the shells are going to land and how much damage they're going to do, who's going to be killed next. The actual loss of life was not so huge from the shelling. Sometimes there were snide remarks from the newspaper about that, about how they bombed us for 3 or 4 hours, but to the usual effect, which was not much effect. Still, people were killed, and you never knew when it would be your turn. So it was nerve-wracking. The war was dragging on. The war was not going well at this point. So, yeah, they were getting desperate, and they were willing to do something. It was kind of a desperate courage prompting something like this.
And were the crew members on the Hunley, were they volunteers?
They were all volunteers.
Okay, so they definitely knew what they were in for with this mission.
Oh, yeah, they had a lecture read to them by the captain of the ship before they joined up, and it had to detail to them exactly what the history of the Hunley was, the fact that they had lost, had sinkings, and 2 different sets of crews had been lost, 1 total crew, and most of another crew had been lost. So, yeah, they knew it was a dangerous mission. It was sort of like a Doolittle's raid on Japan, I suppose. It wasn't quite a suicide mission, but it was extremely dangerous, but they thought it was extremely important.
A question, too, that was raised in your article, if Lieutenant Dixon could have attacked during a new moon, do you think he could have gotten the Hunley very close to a Union ship, you know, so close that he could have attached the bomb without being detected at all?
You never know for sure about that. It's hard to say. The moon can do tricks on you. Even a fairly bright moon, it's different water conditions and wind conditions. It can play tricks on you. But if you had a dark moon, you would think you've gotten closer. He might well have been able to jam his harpoon into the side of it and started backing away. That would like to, of course, have done it without even being sighted at all. I have to believe he would have been sighted right beforehand, if somebody would have seen it, but I really can't say for sure about that. He would have had a much better chance, that's for certain.
Right, because, you know, the Union, they weren't able to train their big guns from the Housatonic, but they were at least able to have small arms fire that possibly may have actually fatally wounded the Hunley, as you allude to at the end of the article.
Right, the conservator of the Hunley now, she said that they had done some experiments about that, and a rifle bullet hitting cast iron was the sort of thing that made the conning tower of the Hunley. A rifle bullet, yeah, it could smash it. It could put a hole in it of the size that they finally saw. I don't think it would have much effect on the body of the Hunley because it would be submerged partly and the bullet wouldn't have damaged it much, but a lucky shot, yeah, that could happen.
Of the various theories about why the Hunley was found further from shore than the Housatonic and why it sank, is there one that you find the most compelling?
Well, I think it's more likely that the Hunley was damaged, that there was a shot taken through it, and water started leaking into it and sloshing into it, and it sank. And at that point, what happened? Was it possible that the currents from hurricanes that sweep through the area could have dragged it a few hundred yards? That seems like a long way to me, but some authorities think that, no, not that bad. It could have pushed it that far. I really don't believe that the Hunley would have deliberately gone to the bottom and waited out an hour, hour and a half, before they came up to try to take advantage of a tide that would take them to shore. That's a really neat theory, but I just don't think they would have hung around there because they had these Union ships converging to help evacuate the other people. I just think they would want a hot foot out there as quick as they could, even though they would be bucking the tide. So I guess I'm not quite going for the idea that they would deliberately go to the bottom and wait it out. But again, that's one of the mysteries.
One thing that kind of surprised me, too, is he mentioned that the Housatonic had a crew of about 155 men, but only five of them perished in the explosion and the relatively rapid sinking. Why was the loss of life on the Housatonic? It was just five out of 155 men.
The torpedo, they wanted to use it to be big enough to blow up the side of it, but of course they couldn't take one bomb big enough to explode the entire ship up. That would be too big a bomb to carry out there. Some experiments were evidently done to see how big a charge they needed, and they tried one charge and didn't look as big enough, so they got a larger one, and that was what they went with. So I guess they had to kind of compromise on how big a bomb they used to bring it down. It did tear up the side of it and take it down in just a few minutes, and accounts say that the blast was substantial. Some people reported being lifted into the air several feet and falling down and being knocked unconscious, so it was quite a blast. But it was underwater, so it would have been contained from one side of it, but on being underwater would have made it actually worse on blowing out the side of the hull. So I guess it was big enough to blow a big hole in the side of the Housatonic, but not big enough to kill people except those who were standing roughly close to it.
I think you mentioned that the Housatonic did sink. Fortunately for it, it sank in relatively shallow water.
Yeah, that's right. So there weren't people swimming in the water. They were clinging to the lines of the Housatonic, and they were climbing up the mast. They were hanging on to it, but it wasn't like the Titanic when the ship was gone. It was not there anymore, and people were just in lifeboats or just swimming in frigid water. It wasn't like that. They were on the ship, and help came fairly quickly, within a half an hour, maybe even 15 or 20 minutes, help started to arrive.
Because I would think that once that explosion would have attracted the attention of the Union blockading fleet, and I think you mentioned this in the article, that, you know, ships converged very quickly to rescue survivors.
Yes, they knew there was a possibility of something like this happening, although they did not expect that the gallant little torpedo craft that the Charleston people called it would venture so far out there. They didn't realize how far its range was. They had been attacked before by a similar craft, not a submarine, but a low-riding ship that was in the inner blockade. And this was considered to be the outer blockade, several miles from shore. They didn't think that the Hunley or a ship like that had a range as far as it was. In fact, it was well within the Hunley's range. They could have gone a couple more miles.